By now, you've heard me talk about Prime Zero Prep, the full-service pre-fulfillment company I personally use. I'm excited because Brendan's given me a code for $50 off the sign-up fee to see if I can bring him a few more customers. Remember, the fourth quarter's here. Now is the time to expand your business. Use a prep company that you can trust, real partner in your business. They're located in tax-free New Hampshire, and that's a big deal. You want to remember that. They can help you with OA, wholesale, private label. Oh, they can also merchant fulfill some of those last-minute orders for you around the holidays. They really are the complete pack and ship company. You need a partner you can trust, and that's PrimeZeroPrep.com. Use the code MOMENTUM, all in caps, must be in caps, and you can get $50 off, as I said. He's only going to do this for a limited time. He's only taking a few customers. Sign up now. Get premium service. Let Brendan know I sent you. Remember, use that code MOMENTUM. That's PrimeZeroPrep.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 144, Scott Margolis. I love talking with Scott because he knows a lot about a lot of stuff. And so you can bring up something and boom. He has an answer. He has done a lot of account work for a lot of people. He has a company called Feedback Repair. And in this segment, we spent some time catching up more about his account. And I didn't know that he was an eBay seller. And he has a couple eBay accounts, and he's got old school where they're without limits. That kind of tells you how old the account is. And we spent some time talking about it. And I think it's such a great lesson that everyone needs to remember they should have a B plan. They should have an eBay account. The sooner you open it, and with, you know, I say this, Prime Zero Prep, Brendan, he's one of my sponsors, and that's true, but he will fulfill your eBay items for you, so don't forget that. And then Joe Lister is another great tool. Get the account open now. Let him throttle you. Get past that and get your quantities increased and your PayPal unlimited, and then that's how you have a B plan. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and I'm very excited about tonight's guest. He has been on the show before. He was one of my early interviews, number 30. Are we getting old or what? Number 30.
It seems like forever.
Yeah. It does seem like forever. Scott Margolis. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thank you.
It's been 100-some-odd episodes ago. Isn't that incredible? More than a year. And I've seen you a couple times since then out on the circuits. We've both been traveling events or you know, conferences and stuff like that. And you're busy, right? You were a busy guy. So let's talk about you. Right? You have a business called Feedback Repair. And when I had you on back then, you and I had met at a CES conference, and just for whatever reason, we struck up a conversation and we got talking about my account, and you were like, so what's this? And I'm like, oh, mine's pretty good or whatever. He goes, oh, let me see it. Boom. You pull it up and you're like, well, what about this and this and this? And I'm like, ooh. And you said, hey, I can fix all those for you. And you did. And I remember saying, okay, if you could fix it, I'm bringing you on my show. And you came right on my show because you fixed them. And it blew me away. I didn't pay attention to that stuff. I thought my account was in good standing, and it wasn't terrible, right? I don't know if you remember it because it's been a while, but you fixed it because that's your business, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing we didn't fix is your lifetime. We fixed your 365.
Yeah, you couldn't go back further or something like that because I had let it go for so long. You know, when you have an older account, I have an account, my FBA account, I was selling FBA since 2011. So, you know, the stuff there, I've never looked back at. And when you have as many SKUs as I have, you never can. I mean, in fairness, you really can't. And so I appreciate that. And you did, you followed through and did everything. And episode 30 is Scott's background. And you really can hear all about that because we dissected it and told some of my woes about my account back then. But they are not woes anymore because it's in good standing. So how are things going? So you are... Well, I mean, it's interesting to me. I didn't know this about you, that you're an eBay seller, an old right. eBay seller, because you got a couple accounts. You got a big Amazon account, and then you have, or you had a big Amazon account, and then you have the business. Tell me about eBay. I'm intrigued about that.
So I've got the two accounts. One goes back to 2000, and the other one goes back to 2002. They both have 100% feedback, and one of them is a top-rated power seller. The other one I just haven't done anything with in years. I finally went ahead and listed and sold something this week, just wanting to see if everything was in good working order there. But it's been very valuable to have those accounts. For most of the sellers that I help, you know, they tend to get maybe 5 or 10% of their revenue from eBay. You know, 5 to 10% of their Amazon sales, let's say.
Yeah, that's about my experience. I mean, I think that's about right, about 10%.
Mm-hmm. And that's not, you know, that's not universal. I think that tends to be the case for people who are primarily focused on Amazon. You know, they're really not doing everything that they could to grow their eBay sales. And it makes sense that that's where their focus is, because you can only do but so much unless you just have a really good team. Hmm. So, you know, for them, sure, that you could build out the eBay sales. It's just there aren't as many eyeballs there. And so for me, it's been a little bit of a liquidation channel. It's been a great place to sell one-off type of items, high-value items, things that just don't tend to do as well on Amazon. You know, these
or
are
the
maybe
package got
larger
damaged,
items.
Right? I mean, when you buy, you know, I buy a lot of wholesale. Possible. I buy wholesale, and even when I get my wholesale items in, there's sometimes package damage, and I don't send it back. I just sell it on eBay. And to me, it's just easy, you know. Did you have eBay before you had Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that was...
I only started selling on Amazon in January 2012.
Okay. So eBay was your thing, and then, but you've kept it. And, you know, I always tell people that it's a great B plan, and, you know, and recent, this past 6 months shows that having a B plan is an important thing to have. And if the sooner you open that account, you're going to be better off, because they will throttle you and PayPal will throttle you. And that means that they're going to limit, hey, you can sell 10 items. Well, I have 100 items sell. Well, that's great, but you can sell 10. You have to prove yourself to them. You have to come across as a qualified seller. And that takes time. And then after a while, I probably, like you, have unlimited, right?
Right.
I have no restrictions, never have. And it's just because we've been selling for so long. But what a great, you know, for me, if my account got shut down today, we'll just scale it up on eBay immediately. I mean, literally immediately. And I think it's smart.
I mean, I definitely, when you say, you know, a plan B or whatever, I mean, I think it's important to have that channel open and operating and functional, and where you're picking up, you know, sort of trust on the platform the same sort of way that you would with Amazon as far as feedback and your volume and that kind of thing. I think if everything else I was doing disappeared, you know, if I stopped consulting, if I stopped having, you know, software and other partnerships, if I wasn't selling on Amazon anymore, I feel very confident I could make a living on eBay.
Yep.
It's just that it's more work.
Yep. 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 And, yeah. And you know, your fees are lower because you're doing more of the work and you're not having Amazon, but it's not that big of a difference. I agree with you, because it's, you know, we have a large eBay business, but to scale it much larger would be very, very difficult without adding staff. I mean, it just gets to a point where it becomes a machine, right? It becomes, you got to keep feeding it, where I can send, no matter how many cases I send to Amazon, for whatever reason, they can handle it.
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned that I never did before, and I think if I were to jump back in and, you know, go strong on eBay, I would contact somebody like Brendan at Prime Zero Prep.
Yep.
You know, now that I understand that that's the kind of thing that he could take on, I would send, you know, the majority of my either a large or high volume items to him to move for me, so I don't have to really touch it.
So Brendan at Prime Zero Prep does eBay fulfillment and merchant fulfillment. Ooh, that's tough to say, right? So it's a big deal now that it's fourth quarter, because getting toys to people last minute, when we all know what's going to happen pretty soon in Amazon, right? It's going to become a big machine, right? All of a sudden, things are going to take longer to get in. There's longer receiving times, right? You have to fight that. And the right way to manage that is at some point, you're going to have to merchant fulfill some of the items. Send some in FBA, but in the meantime, keep your listing active and your merchant fulfill, right? And you keep that product going. And the beauty now that having a partner like Brendan is they will do either merchant fulfill for Amazon, well, for Walmart, for Jet, for any of them, but also right. for eBay. And to me, that's a powerful, that's something that we never had access to, never before. And I just think, I guess there were fulfillment houses. I shouldn't say that. I don't mean it that way. But it's nice to have somebody who's in that business be able to handle that right away for you. I like that.
You know, one other thing that comes to mind, just to backtrack just a bit, you mentioned going back after aged feedback, mm-hmm. like on your account for the lifetime, for instance. You can go after that. You can go after, you know, 15-year-old feedback, and I've done that successfully before. It's just that it becomes a lot more difficult. You know?
And I was at 99% at that point. It was 99, and it didn't seem worth it, right? And that was your advice to me,
that,
like
that
Steve.
The,
it just
yeah,
didn't
that
seem
the
worth
difference.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just, it'd be so, it wouldn't be cost effective.
Well, I think it's very cool that you have an eBay. I didn't know that. Do you do work for people on their eBay account too?
I have at times. I don't get a lot of call for it, but
okay.
when I do, I've been able to, for instance, have them tie me in on a conference call, right? So eBay, normally when they call, they have you jump through a number of security hoops, which I'm thankful for. And instead of someone just sort of setting me up on their account as an authorized sort of vendor or, you know, something along those lines, I just have them bring me in on a conference call. And then that way they can answer all the questions to the people that we're talking to. And that way I'm able to help them out by, you know, asking maybe some questions that make a difference as far as escalation or that sort of thing. You know, we've worked on getting feedback removed. We've worked on getting eBay accounts restored. It's just, it's valuable to have the opportunity because I've worked on that before. The trouble is it's just a whole lot different and a whole lot more difficult to do those kinds of things on eBay as compared to Amazon. The bright spot is it's a lot harder to get in trouble on eBay in
mm-hmm.
some ways.
Yep.
You know, they do a better job of sort of keeping you from getting that far.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, I feel like they have definitely upped their game. There was a time there where they weren't very seller focused, but that seems to have changed again. And it really feels, I mean, really feels good. And sales have been really pretty strong for us lately. I see some people saying, oh, they're slowed down. Not in our world. I mean, we've really, especially since September, for whatever reason, it just started to click again. And
mm-hmm.
It's been exciting. So, all right.
Yeah,
let's
I think they're definitely swinging back around.
Yeah, no, I think
becoming
so.
Becoming more seller focused. And it's. I think the changes they're making right now are good.
I think they're trying not to compete with Amazon because they can't. I mean, I think they realize that market isn't their market to compete in. I think their market is different. And the quicker and sooner they adjust to that, I think they're gonna hold their peace. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, I have some questions from a group, Andy Slavin's Amazing Freedom Group. And I think I think you have a good perspective on them, or you will. And I just think that these are meant for you. You watch. Be right back. Are you ready for a boost this Q4 for your Amazon business? I have just the answer. It's called The List. Yep, that's it. The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are million-dollar-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you. Great guy and knows a lot of stuff. In this segment, we're going to spend some time talking about questions that I've taken from Andy Slammon's group, Amazing Freedom. It's called Amazing Freedom Group. It's a free group to join, but they do want to make sure you're real. It's about 4,000 members in there, and they touch on all kinds of subjects. And some of these questions are really broad, and they're intentionally broad for Scott, because I wanted to hear some perspective. And I think he give some really good perspective. And again, I think we give some action steps. And I think that's one of the things I really want to work on is giving more action steps. So I'm really pleased that we got to that. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Scott Margolis. And Scott has a company called FeedbackRepair.com. He's done some work for me personally in the past, did a great job. And so I can't say enough about him. I don't benefit in any way. He did it way back. It was great. So I'm not going to downplay it. It was great. questions I have are from Amazing Freedom Group. It's a free group run by Andy Slammons. It's almost 4,000 members, which is incredible to me.
Yeah, it really is.
It's really not that old, and yet he's got such a following because he's such a great guy and he's real. You know, he is real. The group wants to make sure you're real before they will let you in. So there's no cost or anything like that, but it just wants to know. And so they have a lot of questions in there, and I picked out some questions that I think are really I think you'll get something from. I picked out three questions, but two of them are kind of related. So I'm going to combine them if that's okay for you.
Okay.
The first one is, somebody mentioned about selling toys. They got a message saying, hey, I'm ineligible. Now, this just happened, and it's coming up on the fourth quarter, so I think that's part of it, right? But they didn't understand what that meant. And the second question, which is really related to it, is, do you have a strategy for the next 2 months, right? So, you know, the big deal is it's fourth quarter, right? So you can have the best plan, but if you're restricted because you haven't been selling long enough, your plan isn't going to work, right? So I think these two things are related. So what would you suggest to that person?
Well, first of all, on the toys, the reason they got that message was likely because their metrics are not satisfactory to meet the requirements to sell toys and games if they're merchant fulfilling. However, if they are not so new that they've never shipped in FBA before, if they've previously shipped in FBA, then they can sell toys and games as long as it's FBA. I've run into a number of sellers in the last couple of weeks who would be, you know, it would be much to their advantage to be FBA, but they didn't realize that. I had to sort of look at their account and let them know that a lot of the problems that they've got right now are due to either their sourcing or the fact that they're just sort of not meeting all the standards that Amazon wants them to in the world of merchant fulfilling. And so if they could, one, change their sourcing, but two, get into FBA, that's one of the best things almost anyone can do to not just improve their account health, but to improve their sales overall. It's such an easy thing to do, and it makes so much sense on so many levels.
But well, let me ask you a question there, though. Okay. So, because this is a real question. You're talking about merchant fulfilling. Why would Amazon be so worried about someone's merchant fulfillment practices, right? I mean, why are they worried about that?
I mean, let's look at toys and games in particular. You know, there's a high level of customer expectation surrounding those types of products, particularly near the end of the year. So Amazon's primary concern is taking care of the customer, having satisfied customer experiences. And if they don't know you as a seller, then they don't know if they can trust you, or if you have been selling and your metrics aren't measuring up, then they wouldn't want to entrust that with to you to do that fulfillment, make sure everything gets there on time, is pristine retail condition, that sort of thing. So, I mean, it makes sense to sort of have a barrier to entry.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of reason why they have gating for health and personal care, beauty and grocery. You don't want just anybody to be able to randomly sell those products, because there is such a high level of trust that takes place when you're dealing with something that's a consumable or that you're going to put on your skin. You simply can't afford to let someone you don't know, where, you know, the barrier to entry to begin to sell on Amazon was so low, almost anybody could sign up. They need to sort of protect their customers.
Yeah, and let's face it, most people don't realize, even though they're buying it from you, they still think it's Amazon that they're buying it from. And so, you know,
a lot of the time,
you're out there representing Amazon, and they're saying, hey, we want you to represent us this way, period. There's no gray area. This is the minimums. If you don't meet the minimums, you're not eligible. I don't think it's unfair, and I think it's really fair for those of us who sell. We appreciate that because, you know, we don't want those unfair practices coming in and then, you know, not being able to compete with them. All right. Well, let's talk strategy then, because I think they're related, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it comes down to sourcing and strategy. You know, it comes down to those two things, along with obviously cash. Cash is king. And I mean, there are so many people who would do so much better if they just knew a few key things. And some of those things I want to spend a lot more time educating people about, as far as how to protect their accounts. You know, it's far more interesting to me to help people grow their businesses and for them to know what they need to know to not do the things that would likely cause their accounts to become, you know, jeopardized, where we're starting to deal with ASIN reinstatements or account reinstatements, those sorts of things. That's not nearly as rewarding as helping somebody grow their account.
Right.
So from an education standpoint, I want to spend a lot of time talking about, well, what can we do to prevent these kinds of issues? But to go back to, you know, what you're asking about as far as Q4 and the strategy for both sourcing and as far as, you know, what to do with your cash, I would say basically, you know, we're sort of at the 11th hour, you know, November. A lot of the people who are really going to kill it this holiday season have basically already done the majority of their shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, they were shopping back in February and early summer and making sure that they were picking out all the things that they had in mind to sell for the end of the year. And they were making sure to watch all their inventory levels very closely and to stock up so that they would make sure to not run out of stock and not be stuck with a back order from a supplier, all that sort of thing. But the good news is it's not too late. You can still make a killing in Q4, even if you haven't already done all the normal recommended things that other successful sellers have basically already completed. You know, one of the things that when you're sending to FBA that everyone can take advantage of that's a unique benefit at this point is to upload the box level content, because the advantage that gives you is it gets your product into inventory just that much faster. It speeds the check-in process. And those time frames slow down so much at the end of the year, you kind of need every advantage you can get, especially if you're cutting it tight on inventory levels.
So let's pause there for a second. So you're saying, hey, so to put box level content, you can ship one box at a time, right? That's box level, right? Because that's one box when you tell them that. That's the same thing. That box goes in fast. It already knows what's coming. They've already done some of the preliminary work electronically, I'm assuming, behind the scenes. That stuff just magically comes in and splits off and does its thing. When you're selling more than one box, they want to know which is in each box. Do you think they open one of the boxes sooner than the other? I mean, could that be that sophisticated?
Oh, it's I don't know. I can't answer that.
Okay. I mean, logically, it would make sense.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise
me
at all either, because they'd be like, hey, in box A, right, we're expecting this particular item that we needed to go to this state because they needed to replenish the one that was there to make sure blah, 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 blah. I can see that they're getting that sophisticated.
I'm sure they have totally different lines for sorting and, you know.
Right. Right. That's a pro tip, though, right there, because you're right. The check-in time has to be enormously shorter right there with what you're describing.
Right.
You pick up a lot of time.
Yeah, and it makes a difference all the way around, I think. Mm-hmm. When if you've got a good handle on that, you know, that may mean that you have a really good handle on your inventory levels, that you're really doing everything you can or need to in order to stay in stock. And when you're looking at the end of the year and the product that you need to have on hand, you know, who knows, maybe you've got a 3x or a 4x multiplier, whatever it is that, you know, you're prepared for to watch what's going to happen with the volume on the sales for that particular ASIN. Hopefully you have, you know, last year's sales to compare it to, and, you know, maybe you're killing it with PPC on top of that. It's just, you know, it's all this one giant thing that you've got to watch very carefully. But, you know, if you're using software, a lot of it will do that for you, where it's not that big of a job.
So your point is right now is the time to really be focusing on the details in your account, right? And really maximizing, like you said, box level details, PPC, right, pay-per-click, try to get that advertising to get your product up on the buy box or up to be found or next to the buy box, right? People, you know, sponsored ads, those kind of things. That is what you're recommending for the next 2 months right now, because as you're saying, most of the product is in. All the big power sellers, they're working on the first quarter, aren't they?
You know, to some degree. I think they're, like, for instance,
They're sourcing new product for the first quarter. They're generally not sourcing product for this quarter, right?
Sure.
That's a fair statement.
They may still be. I mean,
but generally they're not.
Cream that you can still pick up.
Right,
between now and the end of the year. But yeah, the majority of it, I'd say, they've got wrapped up.
I use this statement. Tell me how fair this statement is. Now is not the time to be sourcing for new products. It's a time to be sourcing for more of your hot products, right? To make sure, as you were saying, to make sure you have enough in there. Look for other sources if you don't have it. If you're out of, if your vendor's out, look for other sources. But sure. Stay with your hot products because you already know, right? There's no guessing.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that makes a lot of sense. You already have a feel for what it is that is doing well. You know, the better you know your product mix, the better you know what you're selling. I think the easier it is to be able to stay on top of those things, or the easier it is to track trends or to have an understanding of what might be going wrong with the product, that sort of thing. When you're looking at your account from a account health or metrics perspective, it's that much easier to be able to go in and look at patterns with your ASINs to see what's going on with them. And it's easier to identify and say, oh yeah, I wondered if that particular brand or that particular line from that manufacturer was going to have issues. And you can identify those things because when you know what you're selling and you're passionate about it, it just makes it that much easier. If you look at, let's say, trying to get your metrics cleaned up for end of the year. I mean, that's something everybody should be focusing on, right?
Because that affects the buy box, right?
Yeah, it affects the buy box. So you want to have your feedback cleaned up. You want to maybe you want to tweak your templates in your proactive feedback request software and tweak those for the end of the year. Maybe you want to tweak the timing a little bit. Maybe you want to tweak what you're saying so that it's specific to the kinds of things that people might be experiencing as far as shipping delays or, you know, things having to do with gifts, all that sort of thing. And in fact, along those lines, I would say it would be valuable to check your inventory to see which of the products that you have that you carry that are most likely to be gifts also are selected to have gift options. So, you know, one of the things that as a consumer you look at is, can I get a gift receipt with this product so the full price doesn't show up? Or can I add a gift message or those sorts of things? You have the ability to make those sorts of selections. And that could mean the difference between a sale and no sale for you.
Smart.
There are additional things, obviously, that people can be looking at all year round or are particularly important to look at right now. For instance, some of the seasonal calendars that are available that are specific to either Amazon or e-commerce in general, where you see all of the shipping deadlines and you see, you know, what's going on in terms of being able to prepare to go out. Maybe you want to go shopping and take advantage of Black Friday or Cyber Monday for RA or OA, that sort of thing. Again, even if you haven't prepared, even to this point, if you haven't spent a dollar specific to being prepared for Q4, that's one way you can take advantage of being in the middle of it, basically. So you can be looking at all those calendar lead times for FBA.
Because if you're prepared and you have products in there and somebody else isn't, yours is going to sell. I mean, that's just dumb, stupid statement, but it's true, right? I mean, it's really... you know, paying attention to those things, I think, is so important. You remember last year, one of the big challenges was inventory was being moved warehouse to warehouse to warehouse
right,
to warehouse
right,
continuously
right.
Nonstop. I wonder if since they turned off the ability for new sellers to come into that warehouse, is that one of the challenges they're trying to address?
That's quite possible. I mean, I hope that they won't have that kind of thing going on this time around. It's hard to know.
Right. You think they definitely have opened up a lot more warehouses this past year, right, from last Q4.
Right.
So you've got to hope that hopefully will level down some, because it was a material amount. I mean, it was material.
Yeah, and it changed things in terms of timing, and it made you wonder, okay, I've got all these sales that are pending, you know, what's going on with that, or all these items that are held in reserve, and sometimes it's difficult to know, and you know, you lack a little bit of control on that. And for that reason, I think it's important to not send in all of your product to FBA. Let's pretend you sell a pallet of something throughout the year, but you sell three pallets of that same thing in the fourth quarter. So for the fourth quarter, you prepare and you buy three pallets. But I wouldn't recommend sending all three pallets necessarily to FBA. You know, maybe you buy three pallets and you send those in. Maybe you buy an extra pallet and keep it back. If you have more product on hand, it's a nice strategy to be able to make a little bit of extra money, for instance, with last minute orders, you know, where you might have the ability to overnight something or second day something that, that Amazon won't, or maybe somebody's more likely to order from you because you're in Pennsylvania and they're in Pennsylvania or New York, whereas they don't know what's going to happen if they're going to buy randomly from Amazon or from if it's going to ship from the Midwest. So there are a lot of advantages to being able to keep a little bit of stock on hand that you can control completely in terms of shipping timelines, packaging, and maybe even being able to hold out and possibly raise the price if somebody else sells out.
Right. And you have you're allowed to have two listings on it, and you know, an FBA listing and a merchant fulfill listing. There's nothing wrong with that.
There really isn't, except for they sometimes suppress the second listing.
Sometimes.
Not always the case.
And I think it's price-driven that does a lot of that, right? So as long as you're pricing it relatively within the market, right, because you have to consider shipping. Now, today's day and age, all the accounts, mine included, was switched. I have the old-style account. It was switched over to the new style where I can set my own shipping rates, right, where in the past, my old account, I couldn't.
Right.
That's all been changed this year, and it just went into effect, I guess, in October. Everybody was
pretty
switched
recently.
Over. Yeah.
And that's all been changed for everyone, not just the
everyone.
Aged accounts.
Yep.
Because I feel like it's far better now, and it's how I wished that it always had been, is that you can control exactly who gets what at what price for shipping.
So I think that that's going to affect the suppressant. Okay, let me ask this other question. This was the other one. And
oh,
I think it's a
wait.
Good... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, you have
there
more
was, there was one more thing
on
the strategy for Q4, and it's easy to forget and push it off to the side. And that is, you can't afford to get sick. Just like your account has to be healthy, and we don't think about it until a lot of the time there's a problem with the account. You've got to sleep right. You've got to eat right. You've got to get exercise. You can't just put all that on hold until January.
Andy Slammons tells the story.
Otherwise, you're going to get burnt out.
Andy Slammons tells the story. He's never eat so bad when he was doing retail arb and that kind of thing. You know, he's eating at McDonald's and all that bad food. And he said it just destroyed him. You know, it wiped him out, and he wasn't his best when he could be. And that's something I think you're right. Nobody pays attention to. So that's a really important point. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to do. You think, oh, I'm going to sleep when I die. You know, it's just.
That's what everybody says, right?
It's such an easy way to shoot yourself in the foot. If you get sick, you're kind of smoked.
Yeah. All right. Here's the second, well, kind of the third question. What's the advantage? And it's a really generic question. I apologize for that, but I think it's important. What's the advantage of doing private label on Amazon? I think this is somebody who's like, what's all this talk about private label? Why would I want to consider doing it on Amazon?
You know, I always encourage people to find their passion and, you know, find their niche, really focus on where their areas of expertise are. And you get to do that more than ever with a private label, because I look at it as an opportunity to take something from concept to completion, and you get the satisfaction from that. And you get the satisfaction of being able to improve a product. You know, you can look at all of the positive reviews of something that's maybe somewhat similar and make sure that your product has all the positive reviews of any similar products and that has none of the negatives. You've got to answer those questions, and it allows you to bring a product to market that is truly valuable. It truly answers people's needs and concerns and is a whole lot of value that you get to design, you get to brand, you get to have total control of the listing. You have less buy box competition. You have total control of the packaging, of the sourcing. You can have the best quality available. I mean, it makes all kinds of sense to me to take a product and add an extra dollar to it, because that dollar goes so far into creating additional value, whether you switch something from plastic to stainless steel, or whether you switch it from plastic to, you know, some other higher quality, more durable metal, or, you know, carbon fiber or whatever. It just doesn't seem to cost that much to make those sorts of improvements. And you get to create something that you're proud of, that's enduring, that, you know, makes a lot of sense for you to own personally. And in the process of doing that, of building something that's authentic, that's valuable, you're building a company that's scalable and saleable, where
it's
you
real.
Can get your product into multiple channels.
Right.
It's not just this sort of strange paradigm of what's going on with Amazon today. It's something that's like you are building a real business that's far more significant than a simple product.
You know, it's interesting you say that about other channels. Recently, within the last 6 months, Google and eBay are now allowing Amazon's ASINs to be the unique product identifier, right? So eBay has a thing that if certain items are required to have a UPC code, right? Common sense, a DVD, let's use that for example, right?
Okay.
They are required to have a UPC code, or you can say does not apply, but you're not going to get found as well, right?
Right.
And that's their goal, is to help improve the searching feature, right? Well, now it doesn't have to be a UPC code. It actually can be an Amazon ASIN, and that's within the last few months. Google also will accept that. Now, what does that tell you? I mean, it says that they realize that unique identifier is becoming prevalent. Lots of companies are bringing their product to market and they're not getting a UPC. They're kind of using their ASIN as their
sure.
UPC, right?
I mean, and that tells you the power of that.
That's
like
powerful.
The dollar being the international trading currency.
It's amazing to me. And I wonder if retailers aren't far behind it. Now, the POS systems have to get, you know, the ability to handle that. But logically, it's a barcode and it has a unique identifier. Why wouldn't it, right? I think the technology's coming. And I'm thinking it won't be too long until you see these other platforms accept it also, namely Jet, Walmart. I think they're going to have no choice if they really want to be in that business. And competitively, I know they don't want to accept that, but it might end up being that. It's interesting to me.
It amazes me. I mean, if you think about it, how antiquated any of these codes are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're. You would think they'd come up with something more intelligent. Obviously, you know, the intelligent barcode, or they've got RF and all that sort of thing. But these other codes, these numbers, these barcodes, the ASIN, what have you, they're really antiquated. I mean, that is some seriously old technology.
Well,
I'm surprised there hasn't been a change.
You know, it's proprietary too, right? So everybody has to pay that, you know, whatever that company is that manages all that, right?
Right.
With Amazon, they don't have to. And so, you know, they're disruptors. And my bet is they're sitting there saying, because let's face it, how many of those things does Amazon have to buy, right, back in the day? So now this prevents that. So perhaps this is something of the future. This is a little peek into the future, that maybe that GS1 won't be the dominant thing in the future. You know, it'd be interesting. All right.
It sounds like a tip of the, or a nod of the hat to basically multi-channel and omni-channel.
Mm-hmm.
As people think more and more about the consolidation of their product offerings across multiple different platforms, that is a move to make it that much easier to be there.
And backwards into retail, into brick and mortar, right? I mean, there is
exactly,
the opportunity.
Exactly.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, where you're going. I want to understand where's Scott going, what's happening with his business, and what do you see in the future, okay? Be right back. Great new sponsor, Feedback Genius. You know, the holiday shopping season is the most profitable time of year. This is when we have everything right. As an Amazon seller, we've got our listings right. We've got inventory in the warehouse. Everything's polished, ready to go. But if you're not following up with shoppers with automated emails, especially when you're selling the volume you are, you're leaving seller feedback and product reviews on the table. This is valuable stuff. Feedback Genius is the premier automated Amazon messaging system. It sends messages based on actual order events. That's a big deal. There's no guessing when to send a targeted email. It just automatically happens. It arrives in the shopper's inbox. It's a great system. Get started 30-day. They're giving us 30-day free trial, feedbackgenius.com. You got to use the code MOMENTUM. Go to feedbackgenius.com/momentum, and you're going to get 15 extra day on your free trial. So that's 45 days and 500 bonus messages you can use at any time. Tell Jeff and the guys, I sent you. That's 45-day trial. I love that. Thank you, guys. Use the code MOMENTUM, feedbackgenius.com, MOMENTUM. There were broad questions, and they probably had even more answers that we could have used. In this segment, we're going to talk about his business, feedbackrepair.com, and interesting to hear him say that it kind of almost fell off for a while, and then it came back. And so it kind of woke him up a little bit and makes him rethink his position. So even a service business can be affected from time to time, and I think the market conditions dictate that. And so he's learned that. And so he has a couple other things going on, so we get into it in this segment. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Scott Margolis. And Scott's story was in episode 30. It was one of my early, early interviews, 100 and some odd ago. Incredible. And his story is a really great story, how he ended up where he is. We touched a little bit on it tonight. But you have a company called Feedback Repair, and I don't benefit in any way. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm pumping up his service for any reason. He helped me out way back, and I appreciate it. But it's a real service because these are issues. I didn't pay attention to it. I had too much going on. I needed to buy time, as Harvey Specter calls it. And so I had Scott do some work for me. You're still in that business. How is business?
You know, everything, the phone lines blew up today. I think somebody was sending me a dramatic amount of traffic. But I've got to be prepared for the days when it's not like that. Last week was kind of like that. But a few weeks prior to that, it wasn't as, there wasn't that kind of volume. So I think like everyone else, there's a real significant factor that you've got to take into consideration in terms of diversification, right? Nobody can afford to have all their income come from one source, or if they do have it that way, they're kind of in a bit of a scary situation. I had one client who was suspended for, 20 some days. He would know exactly, right? He would say, oh yeah, it was 25 days. It was the worst period of time I can remember. He was losing $15,000 a day every day he was suspended.
Wow. How did he recover from that?
Well, thankfully he had some reserves, but my advice to him while he was down is think about what you're going to do to diversify. What are you going to do when you come back so that all your eggs aren't in one basket and your mortgage isn't at stake if your account gets suspended? And he didn't really hear that. You know, what he heard was, oh, I'm going to get into different categories. I'm going to not just sell, you know, this particular thing. I'm going to sell in these other categories also. And that's diversification in a sense, but it's not what I meant at all. Mm-hmm. When you're doing that kind of volume, to me, that means you've got opportunity. And you've got to take advantage of that to be able to grow into, you know, other platforms, to grow out your brick and mortar, to grow out your own website, or to increase your presence, you know, in some of the other platforms. For me, it's a bit of a wake-up call where if I want that kind of continuity, maybe a continuous passive income, I've got to build out additional revenue streams. So one of the things that makes the most sense to me is to kind of like what you were saying earlier, stick with what you know, with what's already doing well. And so when I first started, it was just feedback repair, and it's kind of grown out from there rather rapidly to a whole additional slew of services, whether that's reinstatements or ASIN reinstatements or ASIN optimization or product research or training or consulting or what have you. I want to take all of that and turn that into something that's sort of universal that every Amazon seller can benefit from. And to me, that's getting a really good window into what's actually going on with your account health. Mm. So if you look at the account metrics on your Seller Central account and you go in and see what's going on, you see all hopefully green, right? If you don't see all green, you got to do something about it. But the problem is all that green gives you a false sense of security, because I would estimate that only represents maybe about 30% of the real picture of what Amazon thinks about your account health. So
I learned that lesson.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time we spend time thinking about the buy box, you know, or, you know, our sales are down because our feedback is low or whatever. But that's really just not the whole picture. So you end up, you know, maybe things aren't as healthy as they need to be, or you're not doing all the right things if you get a performance notification or an inauthentic claim or a rights holder complaint, all those kinds of things. Every single one of those needs a very specific action taken in order to protect your account. And I want to put together something that allows someone to see all of those things at once and gives them warning notifications. It's the kind of thing that you could take that software and run a report and provide it to a service provider, make it that much easier for them to help you in the case of where you might need help with a ASIN reinstatement or account reinstatement, that sort of thing. It's the kind of thing that maybe it's valuable enough, maybe it's accurate enough, you could actually give it to a bank to let them know this is one of the ways that you can assess the health of my account if you're going to, you know, lend me money for something. That's how valuable I want that to be. That's how reliable
I want it to be.
Do you see it
flagging, like to say, hey, danger, you know, Will Robinson, danger, this thing is getting close to the peak and you need to deal with this? I mean, do you see it kind of flagging you to say, whoa?
I do. Okay. I do. I see it.
Because that's powerful right there.
What's going on from a static perspective, but also being proactive, having a memory, realizing what your status was previously and grading it, all those sorts of things. And, you know, that's kind of that's a significant undertaking, but the people that I've talked to about it have really been encouraging, and I definitely see a need for that sort of product in the marketplace. I mean, a lot of it's done manually, and it's very difficult to replace that sort of manual interface, right? If you let's compare it to repricing, it's a little bit difficult to imagine that a tool is going to make all the same decisions that you would make, you know, from a human perspective, to determine what a price point's going to be. I think for a large account, it makes sense because it's going to do that more systematically and more reliably and more consistently than you are. But at a smaller scale, it's hard to imagine. Not that it couldn't be done, but there's just certain things that, you know, you'll never really replace so easily without a significant investment.
So that is something you're actively working on, or it's something that you're thinking of developing?
I'm in the process.
Okay, so it's actually in the development phase. Is that a fair way to say it? Okay, great. When any anticipated timeline that it'll be out?
No, I haven't pegged a specific timeline for that.
But you
yet.
See that as a direction, because I agree with you. I mean, to me, just knowing, because I want to keep my foot on the pedal. I don't want to have to keep looking back and you know, adjusting and stuff. And I mean, it's one of the reasons I use an account manager, but there are things that get past us, and I want to know, right? I want to know that this is, you know, this potential problem is brewing. Because I just saw somebody else saying an authentic claim, and they had two or three of them.
Right.
And I'm thinking, didn't you know that? Well, no. I mean, in fairness to them, I mean, let's face it, we're busy. We got one, okay, or we missed the email or whatever, and you just moved on. And so it can happen. I can see how it can happen. So some ability to kind of keep your finger on the pulse at a moment's notice is a big deal, and that would be very useful.
I would definitely say so. I mean, it's kind of like going on a road trip, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and it's the winter, and it's freezing, and it's dark, and you ran out of gas.
It's a problem.
I mean, nobody wants to be in that position.
That's a problem. You want that warning light to come on saying, hey, you're getting low on gas, right? And you want to start thinking. I hate when that light comes on in my car, but I appreciate it that comes on because clearly I'm not paying attention to it. So it's a fair, that's a good example.
I would say, you know, somewhat along those same lines. Obviously I'm a service provider when it comes to account reinstatement or ASIN reinstatement, but I'm only aware of perhaps, let's say, six entities that are in that space professionally. And I want to say that there's a whole lot of bad information out there, especially, you know, wisdom of the crowd and various groups and that sort of thing. And if you get in a position like that, you would just be so much better off hiring a professional. I'm not waving my flag saying hire me, but you just are in such better position if you hire a professional to do that for you, especially in Q4. You just can't afford to take a risk following what somebody else did, because the fact of the matter is, just like there is no sort of pat strategy for any seller to follow to make sure that they're going to have success with their account, it seems to me that every single strategy for every single seller should be somewhat different. There is no such thing as a template to respond to some of these types of performance notifications. You really need to have that be done by somebody who has been there before.
Mm-hmm. That's smart too. What about conferences and events like that? I noticed you go to a lot of them, right? You attend a lot of them in some format, some you speak at and that kind of thing. What has that done for your business?
Oh, you know, it's been really valuable on a number of levels. You get to meet a lot of great people, and you get to learn quite a bit, whether it's from the people that you're talking to, you know, out in the hall or after events or during events or what have you. It's just great to sort of open your eyes. It's kind of the same thing as if you grew up in a small town and never left it. You know, you've got to get exposed to what other options and opportunities are out there, what other people are doing. I mean, it's a great eye-opening experience. I've talked to a number of sellers lately who've never been to a trade show before. And it's not that everybody has to go. Some people can kill it from home, or, you know, using a VA or something along those lines where somebody's doing product research for them. They don't ever have to go to an actual trade show. But there's so many advantages when you do. Basically, when you place that order at the trade show, you just jump through all these different hoops all at once.
Right.
You eliminate all these different barriers to entry, and you stop the process of having to fill out this form and that form and get trade references. And
you basically place your order right there on
the
spot.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's just like going to a retail store. You see this, you place the order, you pay, or give them a slip that they're going to follow up with you afterwards with the purchased order that you placed, and you're in their system. It just doesn't get any easier than that, besides the fact that I really like you can touch and see and feel the product. You get to see how it's made. You get to see what the people that you're going to be working with, what your partners are like.
Look them in the eyes, right?
Yeah.
You get to look at them and shake a hand and say, you know, hey, this is now a relationship. It's a different relationship than just one over the phone or an email, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously you don't have to do that. You can do all your sourcing remotely, and that's fine. But I tell you, when I meet the people that I've met either over the phone only or, you know, maybe Facebook only, when you meet them in person, it changes things. It changes the dynamic. I remember your story. You know, if I only ever talk to you on the phone or, you know, Facebook chat or something, I'd be less likely to remember, you know, what are your pain points? Where are you coming from? What are the things that I could be doing that would be most helpful for you?
Love it. All right. So one thing I advise people is that if you are at a conference and you know Scott is there, please approach him. He's very approachable. He's always going to be wearing that shirt, feedbackrepair.com. He always wears it and it stands out. But I, you know what? You're there to talk to people and you're not selling them something. And I always appreciate that. All right. So if somebody has a question, they want to reach out to you, I'm going to put feedbackrepair.com. They can reach out to you there. Facebook message, any place else they can get in touch with you?
You could put my email out there. You could put my cell phone out there, whatever you want to.
No, the Facebook message and Feedback Repair are the two main ones, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Man, no, I get messages every which way. I mean, I've got clients who text me. I've got clients who send through Hangouts, I don't really care. I want to put as much out there as possible so that I'm accessible. I had somebody contact me last night at midnight. Because his account had been shut down.
Oh, gosh.
And so, you know, I was able to help him out, and I think he was able to make some progress today, you know, this isn't the time of year when you want your account shut down.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I try to be as accessible as possible within reason.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to put that out there. Man, the last thing I ask for, and I usually ask for one more. All right. So I want you to give me one nice, short, succinct, somebody can put in their business today to move their business forward. We already talked about a zillion of them, but I want one more. One more that somebody can do other than networking, don't say that, that they can put in their business today to help move them forward.
I would say it would be really valuable to learn something new at least once a week. So whether that's maybe reading some newsletters, maybe that's listening to a podcast, attending a webinar, do something to improve your knowledge or expertise, grow your expertise at least once a week.
Smart. Okay. Scott, I wish you nothing but success. I appreciate you coming on again. I can't wait to hear next year how things have gone for you this year. I just wish you nothing but the best and can't wait to see you hopefully in March. I'll be seeing you hopefully. Take care.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
This episode is sponsored by me. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clamor. And if you don't know what Clamor is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, you know, are on my mind. And I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25. Yeah, hear my big sales pitch. 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, huh, I might didn't even think I could do that. But you can, and I give you a list of different things, all free. And I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care. Great interview. My advice again is if you see him at a conference, go up and talk to him. He's a great guy, very approachable, always has a shirt on, feedbackrepair.com. I think you're going to learn something. And again, it's another point of connection. So if you have a question, you can say, hey, Scott, what is this? And that's always important to have. So I blog out at ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com, where you could subscribe. And then you hear about when I send a weekly newsletter out, when there's new episodes out, and also when there's a new blog post out. Ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.